introducing what we're focusing on this morning, living authentically in today's world, or authentic living. And so I'm going to read a passage from Matthew 23, but I'm going to read that a little ways into my message. So I want to begin by sharing a story. There's a story about a woman who was tailgating the driver in front of her. And the driver in front of her happened to stop at a yellow light, as the law required this person to do. But the woman who was driving behind this driver who stopped went ballistic. She honked her horn, rolled down her window, and cursed the driver ahead of her as she gives him the finger. And then she hears a tap on her window. She turns to see a police officer who says, "Please step outside your vehicle." He arrests her, books her, and fingerprints her. And 3 hours later, she's free to go. The officer says, "Ma'am, I'm awfully sorry for this mistake. I pulled up behind your car and you were blowing your horn, flipping off the guy in front of you and cussing a blue streak at him. I noticed the 'Honk if you love Jesus' bumper sticker and the Christian fish emblem on the trunk, and naturally I thought you had stolen the car." And the woman, you see, the woman gave the impression of being a devoted Christian with the stickers on her car. But her actions showed someone full of road rage. She certainly didn't walk the talk when it came to living out her faith in Jesus. Now, if you were to ask the average unchurched person to fill in the blank, Christians are, fill it in, a common phrase you would hear is that Christians are a bunch of hypocrites. They just don't practice what they preach. Would you agree with that? Would you agree that the church is full of hypocrites? Do you ever maybe feel like a hypocrite yourself sometimes? Would you feel free admitting that to anyone? Or do you often feel the need to pretend that you're, you know, a good Christian, but a Christian who's got to your act totally together, but really in reality, you know that that's not often the case. Let me ask: are we a church where we can feel free to say, "Hi, I'm Henry. I'm a sinner. I struggle with alcohol. I struggle with lust. I have a problem with gossip, a bad temper. I have frequent bouts with depression. I'm the product of an abusive home. I'm really struggling in my marriage right now. I've got this secret addiction that just keeps getting the better of me." In other words, is it okay to fail or to show weakness when we're part of the church? Or do we experience this as a place where, you know, we all try to wear our masks, pretending everything is just fine in our lives when in reality it isn't fine at all? Do we have this hidden fear of thinking that we'll feel judged if we really let other people in on who we are? You see, this fear of showing that we have some weakness or that we might even have some outright sin in our lives, this fear of showing that to other people, that's nothing new. That was very much the case in the days of the Bible also. Hypocrisy or the wearing of masks carried the days in the time of Jesus. There was no room for sinners within Jewish religious circles in Jesus' day. There was a group of people, some religious leaders of that day called Pharisees, who were only concerned about the externals of their religion. It was all about trying to look good in the eyes of other people. And it's in that context that Jesus speaks to some Pharisees, some of the religious Jewish leaders in Matthew 23, starting at verse 23, and Jesus says these words: "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law: justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." Now, the way Jesus speaks to those Pharisees here in that passage, Jesus certainly isn't all that nice to them, is he? I mean, why that harsh kind of language? Where's the love and the gentleness that we come to expect of the Jesus that we usually read about in the Bible? You see, Jesus was just as turned off by the hypocrisy he found in the Jewish religious circles of that day as many people today are about the hypocrisy that they sometimes see in the church. Nothing upset Jesus more than people who didn't take their faith as serious as they let on. It was all a religious facade in Jesus' eyes. Now, as serious as these Pharisees, these religious leaders were about their religion, Jesus had no use for their religious practices. And he made no bones about letting them know how he felt. None of this Mr. Nice Guy when it came to these all too frequent confrontations with these Jewish religious leaders. And whether they liked it or not, Jesus called a spade with these so-called religious experts. Now, the heart of this conflict between Jesus and the religious leaders was interestingly over their view of sin, as evident by their treatment of the so-called sinners of that day. While the Jewish religious leaders avoided all contact with people that they determined to be sinners, interestingly, Jesus had a way of regularly mingling with the social outcasts of that day. Take the example of a story in Matthew 9, where Jesus calls Matthew, a tax collector, to be one of his disciples. Now, tax collectors, they were some of the biggest crooks of that day. They were the experts of white-collar crime in Jesus' day. And what does Jesus do? He goes to Matthew and invites Matthew to become one of his disciples. And not only that, Jesus goes to Matthew's house for dinner. And the Jews looked at that and they were appalled. Surely if Jesus was a genuine religious leader like he claimed to be, he would never go to a sinner's house like that. And listen then to how Jesus responds in Matthew 9, verse 12 and 13. Jesus says, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. For I have not come to call the righteous. I have not come to call those who have their act totally together, but sinners." Now that story then portrays what Jesus meant in calling the Jewish leaders hypocrites. In their own eyes, the Jewish leaders thought that they were next to perfect in the way that they were following the petty rules of the religious traditions. And anyone who didn't come close to measuring up to their religious zeal was ready for the garbage bin in their eyes. And then along comes Jesus. And he cuts them back down to size. It's not about the do's and the don'ts of your religious rules, says Jesus. You don't have your act together near as good as you might think. You might not be as bad as some of these people. You know, you might not be as bad as say, people like the prostitutes or the greedy tax collectors that you snub your noses at. But let me tell you, you're not near as perfect as you think you are. You're still sinners in God's eyes, whether you know it or not. You might think that you can earn your way into heaven by sticking to your religious rules, but you still need a Savior to have any hope of making it into heaven, says Jesus. The Jews didn't get it. The charade of their hypocrisy continued. They kept finding themselves in these all too frequent confrontations with Jesus until one day they managed to get rid of Jesus for good by hanging him on a cross. And in the irony of all ironies, God used this very event to secure the forgiveness and salvation that each one of us needs as sinners in this world. Which brings us back to the issue about there being hypocrites in the church today. Now, it's definitely true that, you know, we as Christians, we don't always practice what we believe. And you're always going to find a few bad apples in the bushels of Christ's church that will, you know, blatantly live a double life. I've certainly met a few people like that in my years of ministry. And sadly, sometimes it makes us all look bad. But there's also this unspoken assumption out there that we as Christians, that we need to be almost perfect to avoid the rap of being a hypocrite. Well, let me tell you, nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, the opposite is true. Unlike the Pharisees, we know that the first step to become a Christian, the first step in becoming a Christian is for us to acknowledge our own sin, to acknowledge the garbage in our own lives. And when you really think about it, the church is the only organization where a public admission of sinfulness is the requirement for membership. The church isn't a hall for super saints. The church is meant to be a hospital for sinners. And so if you're a sinner, if you're someone who doesn't have your act totally together, welcome to the church. It's the place where we belong, the hospital for sinners. See, the Bible never says that we as followers of Jesus, that we're supposed to be perfect. The first feature of being a bona fide Christian is that we know that we are forgiven sinners because of what God has already done for us in His Son Jesus through His death on the cross. And anyone who has the courage to swallow their pride and to admit this need for forgiveness is welcome in the church. As the infamous bumper sticker suggests, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. And so in that sense, if we really think about it, the church has fewer hypocrites than any other institution. Because only the church that claims to be for perfect people is actually full of hypocrites. It's no slander for the church to be full of people who don't have their act together. It's no slander for the church to be full of sinners. A true church presents a perfect Savior for an imperfect people like us who know our need for Jesus as our Savior from sin. That's why Jesus came into the world in the first place. Not for perfect people, not for righteous people, as Jesus says. Jesus came into this world for sinners like you and me. The Bible clearly puts it in 1 John 1 verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. A hypocrite, someone who wears a mask to hide their true self, a hypocrite claims to be without fault. But as Christians, we should feel free to be able to admit our sin. We should be like Lorne and say, you know, I have a problem. I had a problem with alcohol. And I needed God to deliver me from that. As Christians, for us to admit our sin, that's the first step for us. And then the next verse in 1 John 1, verse 9, clearly describes the difference between a hypocrite and an honest sinner, where it says, if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. As forgiven sinners, we know we need Jesus to clean us up from our sin. And thankfully, that's what he's done for us as our Savior. And isn't it wonderful to know that being part of the church is not first and foremost about being good. It's about being forgiven. Because we all mess up on a daily basis. In fact, one of the most encouraging things for me when I read the Bible is how God uses some of the worst sinners for his kingdom purposes. Moses, the greatest leader of the Old Testament. Guess what? Moses was a murderer. David, the greatest king of the Old Testament, guess what? He committed adultery. And he was also a murderer. And Peter, the greatest leader of the disciples, he was a liar. Three times he says, I don't know anything about this Jesus. He denied Jesus. And yet God chose Peter to be the first leader of his church. And one of the greatest Christians ever was the Apostle Paul. And if anyone had reason to feel spiritually invincible, it might have been the Apostle Paul. But not so. Paul knew who he was. As he writes in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I, Paul, am the worst. Paul, the great apostle, knows that he's far from perfect. He knows he needs to have a Savior. And so do you and I. We also need a Savior. And still the claim that, you know, that sometimes there are hypocrites in the church, sadly, that can be true at times. Unlike Paul, too often we try to wear our masks and pretend that we're more pious, that we're more spiritual than we really are. You know, it's easy for us to criticize these Pharisees, these religious leaders of the Jews for their hypocrisy, but sometimes we can be just as proud. Sometimes we can be just as full of greed and selfishness while pretending that's not the case in our lives. And so what's most important is that we acknowledge our natural inclination to be hypocrites. Our natural inclination to not have our act always together. That we don't always practice what we preach. You see, for us to mature as Christians, that maturing process, it doesn't happen overnight. None of us are instantly mature Christians. And yet at the same time, we should never settle for a lukewarm kind of commitment to Jesus. we also need to realize that it's really a lifelong process of learning to become more and more like what God desires us to be as followers of Jesus in this world. And you know what? We also need to be patient with each other. Sometimes we can look down at another person and say, oh, that person doesn't have their act together. I'm so much better. But God wants us to be patient with each other. God wants us to be patient with ourselves. Because that's the way God is with us. God is very patient with us. And guess what? None of us will be perfect until the day we join Jesus in heaven. And not a single day before that. But we also need to realize that God is always ready and willing to help us in this journey towards spiritual authenticity and maturity. God, through His Holy Spirit, provides a daily spiritual house cleaning in our eyes. You see, when we mess up in our lives, when we struggle with sin in our lives, and we do that every day, then God prompts us not only to be honest about that, but God prompts us to confess that sin in our lives. And that we not only confess that sin to God, but that we also do that to each other as fellow Christians. You see, it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit living within us that God gives us the spiritual power to live the way the Bible teaches. The Holy Spirit convicts us to surrender our lives to Jesus on a daily basis. Because we can't even do that on our own strength. As the Bible says in Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And that's what gives us hope. As God's people, God isn't finished with me yet. I'm still in process. I might not be as good as I might not be as bad as I used to be, but I know I've still got a long ways to go to become what God wants me to become. And you know, it's actually foolish for us to even try to present an image of ourselves that's better than what it really is. And in that sense, the danger is there for all of us sometimes to become hypocrites. Instead of wearing our masks, instead of pretending that we've got our act totally together, instead of trying to cover up our sinful weakness, God wants us to develop a culture within the church where we can take off our masks. Where we can openly admit our weakness and our sin to each other. And where we can allow God to work through us to encourage each other along the road towards spiritual maturity. In that sense, I find it interesting that while Jesus comes real hard on the hypocrites of that day, you know, like He does with the Pharisees, I find it so amazing that Jesus never condemns the sinners of that day. In John 3, verse 17, Jesus says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." It seems so ironic. But Jesus embraces those who own up to their mistakes, instead of those who try to act so religious and try to wear their masks to hide their own moral failures. Stop playing the game of charades and take off your mask, says Jesus. Own up to your weakness. Own up to your sinful ways. Then alone will I forgive you. See, if you really think about it, it takes a lot of effort for us to keep hiding behind our masks. It takes a lot of effort for us to keep hiding from the fact that, you know, we struggle with pain and brokenness in our lives. It takes a lot of effort for us to keep pretending that everything is just fine in our lives when really it isn't. like in any other church, there are people here, many of us here, who struggle with some baggage in their lives that we don't always find so easy to admit to others. But let's not assume that we need to have our act totally together before we can be part of the church of Jesus. Let's not assume that God wants us to hide our pain and our sinfulness from our fellow church members. Now, it's not that we need to let out our dirty laundry in front of everyone, say, you know, come up in front here on a Sunday morning and say, you know, these are all the problems of my life. That's not what's necessary. But I think what God does want for us is that we find a few people that we can feel safe with and that we can share the burdens, the pain, or the weakness, or even maybe the addiction that we struggle with in our lives. Because God often works through other people to bring healing and spiritual growth into our lives. That's why we regularly encourage you to be part of a small group within this church. That you're part of a small group of people where we can be honest with each other, where we can let our hair down with each other, and where we can share some of the doubts and the struggles of our lives, and that we can care for each other, and that we can pray for each other and support each other. And what I've discovered is that people will, interestingly, respect us more when we're honest about our own weaknesses and shortcomings. For Lauren to come forward here this morning and share some of the things that he struggled with in his lives, I don't think any of us looked down on Lauren for that. In fact, we respected Lauren for coming forward and sharing that here this morning. And when we are honest with ourselves, with people in this community about some of the things we struggle with, it gives us a sense of authenticity with the people of this community. And let's face it, our children, our coworkers, our classmates, our neighbors, and those that we do our regular activities with, guess what? They already know that you're not perfect. So why pretend otherwise? We have a lot more integrity if we're willing to admit to our fears and our shortcomings in our lives. Take some courage, I admit. But it's only when we are real and honest and authentic with people that we will gain the trust to share the good news of God's love to other sinners in our world. And what God also wants is that when we're honest like that with each other within the church, what God wants is that we are also willing and open and ready to support each other as fellow believers when we get real with each other about the pain and the brokenness of our lives. And that needs to include then a willingness to put our love into action, that we reach out to support the hurting person within the body of our church. As Jesus says in John 13, verse 34 and 35, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. It's only when we show that kind of Christ-like love and compassion to each other that we will lose the reputation for being hypocrites within the church. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know much better than we do how we all so easily buy into this idea that we need to present ourselves as being better than what we really are, and that we even do that within the church. Thank you, Lord God, for reminding us that the church is not meant for perfect people, because none of us would then be able to even apply to being part of the church. Thank you for assuring us that the church is meant to be a hospital for sinners, that we can come to you with our imperfections and our weaknesses in the assurance that you accept us for who we are and that you offer us your forgiveness, your renewal in Jesus. At the same time, Lord God, we know that you don't want us to stay where we are. You want us to keep growing and maturing in our faith and our trust in you. But even there, we can't do that in our own strength. And thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving us your word, the Bible, to guide us in that. We pray, Lord God, that you will also help us to accept each other in that same gracious way that you have accepted us in Jesus. Lord God, help us to make this church a place where we can feel free to show our pain and our weakness, knowing that people will support us with the love of Jesus. Lord, help us to truly be that kind of church. Help us to be real with each other in that way. And help us, Lord God, to be known as a church where people can come with their pain and their brokenness to receive acceptance and healing in the name of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.